First thing I want to read as we start off this study is Romans chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not, and to giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. We're fixing to talk about Christmas. Memories of Christmas. I tell you, when I was a little kid, man, I loved Christmas. Look forward to it. To me, it was a special time when we got to travel back to Wheeler and Allison and see the grandparents, see all the aunts and uncles, and see all the cousins, and you know, and that Duke's pew at Christmas, you'd have 85 people there crammed in Grandpa Red and Nana's house, and a little three-bedroom house with a basement, stacking us up like cordwood, and everybody was happy, you know. Really fond memories of that time. And I'm sure many of you have fond memories of Christmas. We're going to look at the reason for the season. Now, some of the things that I say, you're probably not going to agree with, not all of you. Some of you might agree with all of it. I'm not here to aggravate anybody. I just ask that you approach this with an open mind, and we'll study from God's Word and see what it has to say regarding this. December 25th, the common date that people celebrate Christ's birth in America, or really around the world. It wasn't too long ago that almost as many people celebrated Christ's birth on January the 6th. And even to this day, you have people that celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. Because a lot of them really ain't sure. Is it December 25th or is it January 6th? Now, to me as a kid, who wouldn't want 12 days of Christmas? You know, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, and on so on and so on. Anyway, December 25th, it may be the date that Christ was born. It's probably not. What about a tree? You know, the day after Thanksgiving, I'm kind of like a lot of people. I want that tree up. My wife don't want that tree up. She would rather not put it up at all. But the tree's up, so I won this year. She let me win that one. But the history of the tree, most of our forefathers of European descent, Spanish descent, you know me, I'm mainly Scots-Irish, got a little Indian in me. But our forefathers, centuries ago, would go out in the woods and chop trees down and greenery. And they would bring it inside in the wintertime and put it on the mantles and the lintels and the doors. And it was to remind them that winter wasn't going to last forever. Spring would come back. The green would come back. Well, over time, people started decorating these trees. They started decorating with baked goods and candies. And then as our forefathers come to know Christ, they started putting baby Jesus on the top of the tree. And then it started being the star, which was supposed to represent the star that led the wise man to see the baby Jesus. The first recorded Christmas tree in history was 1500. Hadn't been around that long, as history is concerned. What about gifts? You boys and girls love gifts. I love them too. It said that in this time of year, the non-profit organizations that provide to the poor and needy, this is when they get the lion's share of their donations. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. Is it a bad thing to give gifts to your friends and loved ones? No, that's not a bad thing. Jesus says that it is better to give than to receive. The only thing I would say about giving gifts is the way the world portrays it this day, and it gets worse and worse every year. Christmas commercials on TV and the radio are no longer after Thanksgiving. They're before Halloween. I actually saw a Christmas ad before Halloween. It's about making money in the world's viewpoint of it. I saw a commercial that had a bunch of kids surrounded by just mountains of gifts, and they're ripping open these gifts and hardly looking at them, going on to the next one. And they're just filled with joy. Piles and mountains of gifts. You know. And in the background, you hear this song saying, whoop, there it is. Whoop, there. You know that song, don't you, Josh? You know. Just more and more. And I'm going to tell you a story. When I was 10 years old, my grandpa Red and grandma Anna gave me a stainless steel hunting knife. It was really ornamental, but it had ducks, mallards engraved in it. It had a black sheath. Man, it was a great boy. I treasured that knife. And matter of fact, I gave it to my son 2 years ago for Christmas. But I tell you, the next year, times got a little tough for Granny and Grandpa. And many of you will remember that Grandma Anna used to make these little loaves of bread. And she used to make cinnamon rolls. I mean, to die for. They were great. But you know, that's all we got for Christmas that year from Grandma and Grandpa was that loaf of bread and that cinnamon roll. But as a kid, of course I didn't say this out loud because I got backhanded. But as a kid, in my mind, what I was thinking for is this it? Is this it? You know, because you feel like you're entitled to things. I felt like I was entitled to things as a kid. Definitely not the Christian attitude to have of thankfulness. Actually, the closest meaning of the word Christmas, when you take it back as far as you can trace it, is a remembrance of the anointed of God. Okay? Now, you'll hear some people claim that it's and it does have connotation to Catholicism and the Universal Church. The Mass of Christ. It is, but if you take it back further than that, it's actually a remembrance of the anointed of God. So is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. If it's celebrated that way. Please read with me starting in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. But as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor in Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she was brought forth, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. What a beautiful story. The promised child, the Savior. Now I want to take a look. We want to take a look at the wise men. We're often told that there were three wise men. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. I think that's probably derived because there were three gifts. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where his Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. Thus it is written by the prophet. Herod was afraid. Herod was afraid. He was about to be unseated. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the sword, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why was Jesus given frankincense, gold, and myrrh? Frankincense was associated with the priesthood of the Israelites. It was used in the sacrificial duties that they performed. It was very expensive perfume. In Hebrews chapter 7, we are told that Jesus Christ would be a high priest on the order of Melchizedek, without beginning, without end. Gold, associated at the time with kings and royalty. Jesus Christ, we're told in Revelation chapter 19, is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is king of everyone that's sitting in here. He's king of everybody that's out there in the world doing their own thing. He's king of us all. Myrrh. Myrrh was an oil that was used mainly for the embalming of bodies or for the anointing of bodies after they had passed away to cover up the smell. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The best gift that we're ever going to get. Romans chapter 5 and 6. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The good news is that to everyone that's obeyed the gospel, to everyone that's been buried in baptism and washed by Christ's blood, every day is Christmas. Not just December 25th or January 6th or the 12 days. Every day is Christmas. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profitable if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This verse right here used to give me a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Because I'm sitting there thinking, some of these guys are still alive to this day. Just a lack of understanding, you see. Because today, everyone here that's a member of Christ's body is in the kingdom. The kingdom is alive and well. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. So, is it wrong to celebrate Christmas? I think that Christmas, if it's a remembrance of the anointed one, if that's the reason we do it, ain't nothing wrong with it. We're commanded to do that. And every day is Christmas to us.